It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to study the Word of God and to enjoy it. Please join me today as we study the book of John. We're in the seventh chapter, John chapter 7. We're going to begin reading up at the 14th verse, and we'll be reading through verse 27. So please, if you'd open your Bibles to the seventh chapter of John, and we'll begin reading with the 14th verse. While you're doing that, I'd love to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois. It's at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Again, I'm glad that you have joined us. We need to love to get busy in studying the Word of God. We don't take much time with announcements. We just love to get into the Word. So please now, if you have opened your Bibles, and I hope that you have, we'll begin with the 7th chapter, verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. The Jews marveled, saying, "How knowest this man letters, having never learned?" And Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me?" The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee." Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye marvel. Moses, therefore, gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man, whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is." Let's begin with prayer before we begin today. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to open your word, to pore over it, to learn more and more about you. We thank you, Father, for the cross of Calvary, where your Son, the Lord Jesus, went to the cross and died upon that cross. We thank and praise you, Father, for sending the Comforter after the Lord Jesus went back to sit with the right hand and be our intercessor. The Comforter came down to live within the believer as we would come by faith to you and be saved. I thank and praise you. And you have given us your word, and we need to guard it and protect it as the truth. Use it in our lives as the authority, as truth, Father, and help us not to change it, not to move from side to side, but we stay with you so very closely. Now, Father, please speak to our hearts as we study your word today. Guide and lead us. Bring those that are lost unto salvation, that they may be saved. Bring those, Father, that are saved closer to you as they know more about you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We went back to the 14th verse so we could find out who was talking to who. We're really going to begin over with the 19th verse with the discussion that we have with about Moses. But as we look just a minute, we find that Jesus in the 14th verse, now it was in the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and they were so, the Jews marveled, saying, "How knowest this man letters, having never learned?" And we've discussed that, how that the Lord Jesus was really, as he proclaimed his word, he spoke with perfect authority, which of course is correct, is right, because Jesus will know every word that he has spoken and has been recorded in his book. And so for him to speak with authority, they didn't understand, but I sure do, as they found him in the temple doing this. But Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now, we need to understand very clearly that the Lord Jesus is under persecution here because of healing the impotent man, and I believe that to be found back in the fifth chapter. And all this time and other things that have went on, and the teaching and the evidence of the presence of the Lord Jesus, and now as he's in Jerusalem, we find that that they're constantly desiring to put him to death. They're constantly trying to find something that's wrong with him. And yet each time that they come in contact with the Lord Jesus, they make statements as this. They marveled at what he knew. How can he know this? Because he has never been to one of our schools. And if you haven't been to one of our schools, there is no place for you to learn. So how could he have learned this? Well, he knows it because he is God. And then he takes none of the glory for himself. Jesus is a very humble man when he was walking up here upon the earth. He was not prideful, and he gave the right he gave glory to the right person always. And the person that he gave glory to was to God the Father, our Heavenly Father. That's who he turned the glory to. He said, that's who sent me. That's who I'm down here doing his will, and I give him all the praise and all the glory. Any man that seeks his own glory is prideful and is out of the will of God is a sinful man, because people want to. They do not desire to hear the word of God. They do not want to hear the truth. They want to hear what man has taught, what man has conjured up. And so we need to decide who we want to listen to. Are we going to listen clearly to the Word of God, or are we going to listen unto the men that have spoke of the Word of God? I want with all my heart to get you away from those books and teachings of man. I want to get you in the Word of God. I want you to be saved. I want you to seek the cross of Calvary where your sins can be forgiven. And it's a once and for all time when you come and you face your sin and you turn unto the Lord Jesus, and upon doing that, set your life to serve him and to praise him. He'll come into your heart and save you, and you are saved and saved eternally. What a joy it is to be a child of God, and what a joy it is to look to the Word of God for all my strength and my direction, and he will give me his power. And he will give me great wisdom to walk through this life. But if you neglect that, and if you look to the teaching of man, which most do, you'll find it to be not satisfying where the Lord Jesus is satisfied. Each time you come to hear, come to listen unto the Word of God, to the truth, he will satisfy your heart. He will satisfy your soul. But what happens when we listen to man's teaching, we always desire to have it explained again, because it doesn't satisfy. Well, man's works and writings cannot save. Jesus can save. Man's writings cannot take away one sin. Jesus can take away all of our sin. There's many things and many reasons to come to the Lord Jesus and to walk with him. Come by faith to him. But if you choose to follow after man, you'll find nothing but bondage and disappointment. So I ask that you look to the freedom and to the excitement, and you'll be set free today if you'll come to know the Lord Jesus and walk after him. They claim to follow after the law. And as we find here, he that speaketh in the 18th verse, John 7:18, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. And that's today. We have a glory-seeking society. They desire to please self constantly. Now here we find, he that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. And he was speaking of how I give, Jesus is giving the Father all the praise, all the glory. And that's the way to do it. And when you do that, when you praise and honor, as we need to praise and honor the Lord Jesus, and in doing that, we know the Father, can walk with the Father, and it speaks of no unrighteousness, because we're not trying to glory in our own way, in our own means. But you can only do that, my friend. The only place that peace can come from is if you seek after the Lord Jesus. Jesus come up with a question. It says, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? Remember what I said a little bit earlier in the 5th chapter when he healed the impotent man on the Sabbath? That was the problem. It wasn't that he healed him. You thought they would be rejoicing because of what he had done. But instead of that, they were condemning him, not for the healing, not for what had been performed, but they were condemning him because he did it on the Sabbath. Did it on the Sabbath. He did work upon the Sabbath. Now to the Jews, you see, we have been set free. Some believe, some teach that the Sabbath day is a day that we're still under the law and required to worship on the Sabbath. We find through the New Testament that they began to meet and to fellowship and to worship as the church on the first day of the week, the day that Jesus rose from the grave. Well, when Jesus went to the grave, the law was fulfilled. It was complete. We're no longer under the bondage of the law. The Jews were under the bondage of the law. So they served and they carried out the law, not to the letter of the law as they thought they were, but they carried it out as a tradition that they had kind of found and fathered themselves. And we find the folks that choose to follow after the Sabbath, that live that today, that if you'll seek after their doctrine that they teach, yes, they teach you must worship on Saturday, on the Sabbath, but they deny many things, and there are many things that are taught falsely, contrary to the Word of God, but people miss that because they're too busy looking at the Sabbath. Jesus was not concerned about the Sabbath. He was fulfilling the Sabbath, and as he followed each time, they made statements that you weren't to, he would go into the cornfield and get some corn to eat on the Sabbath day. People, the Jews, just were furious of that. How can he do that? Well, they had changed the Scripture, because the Scripture says that you can eat, you can go in and take what you want to eat. You cannot harvest. Do not put the sickle to it, the Scripture says. So there's many examples about that. Here again, he healed a man. But you see, it depends on how they want to bend the law. How do they want to move the law from side to side? I repeat, we are not under the law, we're under grace. But here, the Jews were claiming that Jesus had done something wrong, and that he had broken the law. He says, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Now, he didn't understand that. Well, it's very clear because, you see, Jesus knows the law. He knew every part of the law, every word, every period, every syllable that goes into the law because he wrote it. He had given it to them. He knows it. And he is keeping it according to the way he had set it before the Jews. And he knew that they weren't keeping it. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keep the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, thou hast a devil. Thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. You know, as we look at the law, and I want you to think about this just a little bit very carefully, when we're talking about the law and not under the bondage of the law, the Scripture tells us now that the law should be a schoolmaster. a schoolmaster. Now, the law, people say they keep or they live by the law, and most of the time they're speaking of the Ten Commandments. And they believe that if they would live and carry out every responsibility that, for instance, the church has given, and every responsibility that of the Ten Commandments, and if we don't break one of those, then we can be saved, and that comes at the end of their life. Well, that's not true at all. You can be saved today because Jesus died on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago that you and I can live. And so we need to come by faith and trust in Him. But people say they live by the law, and they abide the law. They keep the Ten Commandments. They live as good as they can, they'll tell you. But none can keep the law. The law is a mirror to let us see and know that we are lost sinners. That's the purpose of the law. We are not under the bondage of the law, any of it, the Sabbath, any of it. It is for the purpose for us to see who we are. Now, I said that was to be a schoolmaster. Let's look at Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Take your Bible, if you would, please, and turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Find 1 and 2 Corinthians, and your very next book will be Galatians. Galatians chapter 3. And we're going to read the 24th verse. And I can read start with verse 22. The Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we are kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now look at that. There was a time that if you would have lived at that time, you would have been under the bondage of the law. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith. You see the purpose of the law? Not that we are demanded and to keep it, and if we don't, to hell we go. The reason that you will go to hell is unbelief. If you do not come by faith to Jesus and believe in Him, and Him solely, Him totally, and Him only for salvation. Not by works, not by the demands of the law, but by Jesus Christ and Him alone. And I want to read that once again, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. That was the purpose. To bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by Him. That's what the law does even this day, as you look at it and realize that we are so short of keeping the law of God. And it is impossible. No one can keep the law. If you attempt to keep the law, you will fail. If that's the means that you have set your salvation for eternity, then you will fail. You will fail. That's a beautiful verse of Scripture. But that tells us the purpose of the law. Now, if we return now back to the 19th verse, did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? You say, I've broken the law, you break the law. Well, Jesus didn't break the law. They did. Jesus was perfect. They were not. What was the purpose of the law? To have them recognize how wicked, how evil, and how short they are of fulfilling it, and how much they need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus. Verse 20, the people answered and said, thou hast a devil going about to kill thee. Now see, we've went from the Jews in questioning the Lord Jesus because of the questions that took place in the when Jesus came in to speak back in the 14th verse, and Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews ask. And so we went on from that conversation. Now the people of the city have gotten involved in it. And they answered and said, "Thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "I have done one work, and ye all marvel." You know, as these, we have the educated men, the Jews in the temple, as they would read the Word of God. We need to understand, and especially in today's world, today's society, that education and knowledge, everything is set upon education and knowledge. Man has a lot of knowledge. You know, it's been said, I just read in the devotion a week or so ago, where that the man with the telegraph had sent a message and had gotten a message one side or the other and made the statement that the telephone would never be a reliable source of communication. It was said that when everything, at the turn of the century, that there could be nothing else created, nothing else built. Everything has been invented. It was said by one of the people that was involved in giving out of the patent, and he felt that everything was finished. There was nothing else new. That was in the 1900. Look at what has been built and made by man since then. Look at the level of communication that not only has come past the phone and went into the all levels with the computer age and everything that we have today. Look at all those things. And so the education, the knowledge of man has moved at such a fast pace. But the problem is that man's knowledge is set upon the disobedience of God. God's knowledge, the wisdom He wants to give us and give us the believer, is set upon obedience unto God. Now, if you think about that, you need to be very careful that as we educate our children, as we educate ourselves, that education involves and comes through the Lord Jesus and not through man. You remember Satan offered Adam and Eve knowledge. When he offered that, and they accepted the knowledge that he offered, it was received through disobedience. Please be very careful, my friend, that what you learn as you go through the educational system that we have in this country, that you are equally learning the will of God, that you may take what you learn with the wisdom of God and use it to His glory. And that's the only way that it can come. These people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee." Some must have not known about the plot that the Jews had for him. Others say, if you read it in this manner, that you're crazy. you're just crazy if you think somebody's out to kill you. And so there's a couple different ways, but undoubtedly they wasn't really aware of the people that were coming to kill him. But Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. As we've looked at the Jews and all their education, they're seeking to kill the Lord Jesus. Their knowledge has not made them godly, has it? Their knowledge has made them dangerous because they desire to kill the Lord Jesus. Knowledge of man brings us to a place of disobedience. Knowledge of God brings us wisdom and obedience. So we know that the Jews got their man-made knowledge from all the studying and all the rules that they had. Didn't work, did it? He comes and brings them to Moses, and he says, Moses gives you the law, but you don't keep the law. I'm sure that disturbed them because they probably thought they were keeping the law, but Jesus knew that they weren't. He wanted to know, why go ye about to kill me? You're breaking the law? What's the problem if I do the same? Of which Jesus didn't. The people wanted to know, thou hast a devil, goeth about to kill thee. And again, some feel like that he's saying, Jesus, you're just, you don't know what you're talking about. But we come down to verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marveled. You looked at what I did, and you were taken by it. But because you say I broke the Sabbath, because I did it on the Sabbath day, now the Jews are seeking to kill me. Then he gives them an example. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision. Not because it is of Moses, but is of the fathers. Where did circumcision begin? It did not begin with Moses upon Mount Sinai. Circumcision began with Abraham, some 400 years before. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Because it was placed in the law, but it was something that started back in Moses' time, on the eighth day, back in Abraham's day. And they accepted that as the law. So on the eighth day, they must circumcise, no matter whether it landed on the Sabbath or not. Now, so you're saying, Jesus is speaking to them, to the people and to the Jews, you are saying that I broke the law by healing this man. I'm saying you broke the law by trying to keep the law, because if you were trying to keep the law on the eighth day to circumcise the man-child, that you broke the law by what you were doing. You understand what I'm saying? We're talking about two different laws here. One said on the eighth day, well, you can't change that. But then how about the work that's involved with circumcision? If any man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry with me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Well, you think about what you're saying. And that's what the 24th verse says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. You got all these laws, folks, and you're trying to abide by them. You say you keep the law. Well, you keep one law, but by doing that, are you breaking another? The purpose of the Lord Jesus was to show them that they better stop judging and start looking at their own heart. That they need to examine themselves to see that they cannot keep the law. None of us can. The law, as our schoolmaster, was to bring us to this, to recognize sin and then come by faith to Jesus. Will you do that today? He took your sins away upon the cross of Calvary that you can live. Will you just come by faith and ask Him into your heart to save you? I mean from the heart, my friend, not just from the mind. I don't want this knowledge. I want from the heart, all your heart. Ask Jesus to come in. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?